Your Bible is open to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at that passage as we begin our lesson tonight, which is really a continuation of the lesson this morning, which was a continuation of the lesson last Sunday morning. Perhaps this will conclude what we will say at this point or at this time concerning the topic that we're just referring to as the racial divide. Let me say in the very beginning, I appreciate the comments that different ones have made. I think there's a willingness and certainly a recognition on my part that my life has not been free of racism, the effects of racism. Not that I would necessarily refer to myself as a racist, but to say that I've not been affected by some of the thinking that it has existed in the world that's just wrong, then that wouldn't be a true statement. I have been affected by that, and probably most of us have. And if we've not, we're very fortunate that that's not the case. We said last Sunday, and I thought of this. Someone was making a comment after services this morning. The wonderful thing is about our heart, that is our Bible heart, our mind. Our mind is the kind of thing that we can program. We program based on the information we put in. And we can also reprogram our mind. When our thinking is not what it ought to be, God has designed us so we can change. We can change our thinking, which in turn changes what our actions are. We can change our attitude toward things. And what we want to do is to make sure that we are pleasing to God. That is the first and foremost thing that we're concerned about as Christians. Let me just continue kind of where we left off this morning. We were talking about sensitivity and the fact that sensitivity is important. It's essential in order for us to bridge any gap that exists. And I'll come back to that in just a minute. We'll talk just a minute more about that. But I want to say this, and I said this last Sunday morning, and I failed to say this morning, and that is God's Word contains the answer to the racial division that exists. It's found in God's Word. And I want to go back and I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, just verse 28, and for us to notice what Paul says here. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What makes us one is the fact that we are Christians. We are in Christ. And as Christians, when we behave ourselves and our attitudes are what they ought to be and we're pleasing to God, then whatever division or divide that exists on any spectrum, we can and should be united in Christ Jesus. We're united in Christ Jesus. Unity is found in Jesus Christ. I want to mention a couple of other things concerning sensitivity. The importance of sensitivity. And the fact that I can't think like other people, and other people can't think like me. My experiences have, to a great degree, formed my thinking on things, just like the experiences of others have formed their thinking. And I want to refer back to the man that I mentioned this morning, Kevin Clark, who is a Christian. Kevin made some statements in this panel discussion. He just made some observances concerning his growing up days. He grew up in Tennessee. He went to the University of Tennessee. And he's a black man, a dark-skinned man. His parents were Christians. He's been a Christian most of his life. He's a wonderful Bible student, a good Bible student. And if you ever have an opportunity to hear him speak on whatever he's speaking on, it would be well worth your time. But Kevin said he remembers in just relating his growing up days, and some of you probably can relate to this as well, because when he said this, I thought, well, you know, I remember hearing this said. He said he remembered growing up and hearing that a black man would not be able to be a quarterback on a professional ball team because he just didn't have what it took intellectually to be the quarterback. I know that almost sounds ridiculous, but I remember that. I remember hearing people say, well, you know, a black man, he could not be the quarterback on some great team because he's a black man. And Kevin said he remembered that growing up. He remembered that. And when Warren Moon, who was a professional football player, quarterback, was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Kevin said, it probably didn't move other people. He said, I sat there and I shed tears. Because it was confirmation to me that he could do that. He did it. Now, I can't relate to that. And probably most of us cannot relate to that. But what I'm saying is that we, in being sensitive to others, we have to understand that others have, their background is different. I was born, by the grace of God, I was born in the United States of America, in Alabama, which I think is in the South. My parents happened to be white parents, which gave me privileges. Privileges because of the color of my skin. And that has been my experience in life. I've never had anybody tell me, Tim, because of the color of your skin, you won't be able to do this or you won't be able to do that. And so as we think about those things and we try to relate to others, let's keep that in mind. And let's be patient. Let's be understanding. Let's be forgiving. Now I want to ask this question and we want to answer it. Who is the enemy? And you know the answer, and I know the answer too. The enemy in all of this, in any sin, is Satan. And I think we need to recognize that and put that in the very forefront of our mind. Anytime my attitude is not what it ought to be, my actions are not what they ought to be, that is pleasing to God, my words are not what they ought to be, then I'm being influenced by Satan. And there's our enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God and who we are battling against. And he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The devil, as he is trying to influence us to do wrong, we have to understand as Christians that our battle is not a physical battle. Our battle is a spiritual battle. He is trying to get our souls. He's trying to influence us so that we will not serve God. And he doesn't tell us, you do this and you'll spend eternity in hell, but that is the end result of our failing to serve God acceptably. And so again, the answer to the problem is Jesus Christ. And what we have to do is we have to be people of faith. It's amazing some of the things that different ones have told me that they have experienced in their years. Or maybe their parents experienced. And as they tell me these things, I know it happened. But in my mind, what I'm thinking is I cannot believe that things like this would happen. Let me say this in addition to that. How the world acts is one thing. As Christians, our thinking and actions must be totally different from the world. In almost everything. It just has to be totally different. The world may accept racism. We cannot as Christians. The world may look down on someone based on the color of their skin. We cannot do that as Christians. The world may look down or have bias towards someone based on their socioeconomic level. We cannot do that as Christians. God is an impartial God. He deals with us. He has no respect of persons. We talked about just a few weeks ago. And that's how we must deal with people as well. And so we're putting on Christ in our life, and we're allowing the influence of the Word of God take over, and it's what guides us, directs us in acting and behaving as we should. We need to be sure that we teach our children and our grandchildren. Now, I know most of you are like, at least some of my children, they're grown. We still need to be teaching them. We need to help them understand what is right and what is wrong based on God's Word. Now, I will say this. We live in a different world than the 50s and 60s. And mostly what I can remember about the 50s, I have to read or see. I was born in the end of 55. Some things that occurred in the 60s I can remember, but I'm reminded because I see films, videos, news clippings, read about things that happened during that time. But things have changed to a great degree, and I think they've changed for the better to a great degree. Not that we're where we need to be. In different parts of the country, even here in Decatur. But I'm thinking about different churches. The Lord's Church. Local congregations of the Lord's Church meeting. You know, there was a time where interracial marriages would have just been looked upon as being, a person might put their life in danger. If a person of one color married a person of another color. Or a person of one country married a person of another country. I'll just share with you what I told every one of my children when we talked about them marrying. What I said to them was this: the thing that I am concerned about the most is that you marry someone who is faithful to God. That was the thing that concerned me the most. And we had conversations. Well, Daddy, what if I decided to marry a man who's a black man? I said, if that person is faithful to God, that is the first thing that I'm interested in. Now, I could say that some places, and there may be people in the audience tonight, I would hope not, and people would be upset with that. I can't believe you would say something like that. What I want is the husbands of my three children who are married to help them go to heaven. I don't care what color their skin is. If they will help them go to heaven. And that has become something that is, has become an accepted thing among many Christians. And my question would be, why not? Here is a person who is striving to serve God faithfully. Here is another person who's striving to serve God faithfully. And they're looking to marry. What else would you be looking for? And I'm not saying there are other things, there are not other things to consider, but isn't that the first thing that you would be concerned about? The reason that that is important is because That's what the Word of God teaches. We need to be looking for someone to become our spouse who will help us serve God faithfully and go to heaven. Now, I can relate some other things. In my own, when I became the principal of the elementary school in Huntsville, at one time we had children from 7 different countries attending that little elementary school of about 350 to 400 children from kindergarten through 5th grade. And I remember distinctly this happening. It happened on several occasions. But we would have our kindergarten children, the teachers would choose 2 to bring the attendance in the morning. And I would see, here would come these children. Typically it was a boy and a girl. You know, and they stand about this high. And they're holding hands. And they just have a grin, just like what they're doing is the most important thing in this world, as they bring that sheet of paper down to the office so that those who are keeping attendance knows who's not there. Now, here's the thing that I noticed. One morning, it was a little boy who was a black boy, and it was a little girl who was a white girl. One morning, it was a little Asian girl, and it was a little white boy. Another morning, it was a little girl that had moved there from Japan, and it was a little black boy. And it didn't matter what the mixture was. You know what they saw? As they were coming down together, what they saw was a friend. We've come a long way. And we need to continue in that same direction. I said this morning, when people look at me, it's okay for people to see me as a big Caucasian. I'm not white Caucasian. But I want them to see more than that. I don't want them to look at me and because of the color of my skin to think negatively toward me. And that should not happen to anyone. One thing that was said, and I'm going to go to Romans chapter 12 here in just a minute, and I want to read, and I have it on the screen, I want to read from verse 19. Do you remember the incident just, and I didn't look to see, it's been a year or two ago, in South Carolina where a young man by the name of Dylan Roof, I believe that was his name, who was a white young man, and he went into a church building. And there was a group of people who happened to be dark-skinned, black, studying their Bibles. And he sat there, and he was at least in the room and the study where that was taking place. And when it finished, he pulled out a gun. And he shot and killed not everyone, but he tried to kill everyone. And based on what he said, the motivation was a racial motivation. And the thing that sticks in my mind as much as that is the reaction of the family members, the friends, those who worshiped in that group. What they said was this: we forgive him. That's powerful. What would our reaction be? I mean, regardless of the color of the person's skin. But he said this was, he did, it was racially motivated. And their response was, we forgive him. You know, that's what the Lord requires of us. Now, that doesn't mean that He's not going to be held accountable. He needs to be held accountable. I don't know what the laws are in South Carolina. He may spend the rest of his life in prison. He may face death. He needs to be held accountable for what he did. But their attitude was, we forgive. Now what he needs to do is he needs to understand that what he did was wrong. And if he doesn't know the Word of God, he needs to learn that. He needs to turn in repentance and be obedient to the gospel of Christ and become one of God's children. And he can be forgiven and he can be saved eternally. Because God will forgive him if he repents and he's obedient to his will. And so the key to all of this is Jesus Christ. And knowing and doing His will. I want to go to Romans chapter 12, verse 19. And here in this section of Scripture, and at some point we'll be studying this, Lord willing, in a few weeks in our Sunday morning Bible class, but there's a section in here that is just good for a sermon. But I want to read verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If I have been mistreated, then what I need to do is I need to understand that it's not my place to try to avenge that. It's God's place. If someone has been mistreated, that person's place is not to avenge. And I'm afraid sometimes that may be the first thing that pops into the minds of some people. Well, I'll get him. No. Now, we have laws, and we let the laws run their course. That's what the government is for, the civil authorities. They're set up as a terror to those who do evil. But vengeance doesn't belong to us. Now, before we round the corner and take it home, I read somewhere where the fellow said, I'm going to make the last point. Said 45 minutes, he finished. It won't be 45 minutes. We're heading down the stretch right now. What I need to understand is this. To criticize another man because of the color of his skin is to criticize God Himself. Because whoever that person is made in the image of God. Somebody says, well, what can we do to make a difference? Well, I think the first thing we can do is this. We can talk about it. I think we have to recognize reality and be willing to talk about a problem that does exist. I think a second thing we need to do is we need to pray about it. As Christians, we need to be praying all the time. And sometimes what happens, if we're not careful, as I get a little outdone and frustrated sometimes watching the news media, because sometimes things are sensationalized, and I don't want to be a party pooper, but sometimes I don't even know what to believe and what not to believe. When things are reported, if it's true or if it's not true. Now that's sad. But that's kind of where we are. Let's pray that people will act in a way, that those who are in authority will lead in a way that we have the opportunity to teach the Word of God. I don't want to get in this blame game. Well, if so-and-so or if they, I want to tell you who I'm concerned about. Right here is who I'm concerned about. And I need to make sure that I am behaving and acting the way I should. And what I'm going to see when I look around is I'm going to see a lot of people who are not doing that. Again, if that's people of the world, that's one thing. If it's those of us who are Christians, I start to say shame on us, more than shame on us. How can we teach people the right way when we are not acting as we should? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." One thing we're praying for is that those who are ruling will rule in a way that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life, not just doing whatever we want to do, but in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And what that says is this, as I'm praying that those who are in authority are leading in a way that I can lead a quiet and peaceable life. Not just to sit, but to have the opportunity to teach others, to bring others to Christ. God's desire is that everybody come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know how that's going to happen? If we're doing that. That's how that's going to get done. And so we pray about our situation. We need to teach people about Jesus. Jesus came to this earth, and His primary goal was to seek and to save the lost. And we need to teach people that. He came to save all people. Not just people of a certain nationality, or a certain race, or a certain gender. He came to save all people. And then we need to examine ourselves. Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves." And then he goes on and he says, "Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Examine ourselves. Test ourselves. That's the way we can determine if Christ really is dwelling in us. By the way we react, by the way we respond. And again, questions that I need to ask myself. How do I feel about people of other races? Do I feel that somehow because my skin color is the color that it is, that I'm a little better than other people? If I do, I'm wrong. Examine ourselves. Get to know someone who looks different from you. Teach that person the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Get together with them. Get to know them and let them get to know you. And again, it may be, I start to say it may be a little uncomfortable. It may be a lot uncomfortable. But if we can take advantage of an opportunity to teach someone the gospel, we need to do that. I'm going to say this because this was said on that panel as they were coming. Then somebody said, and it was one of the gentlemen who were white, he said, "You know, sometimes we," talking about white people, "we may think that there isn't a problem." And he went on to say, "You know," he said, "well, you know, we watched the Cosby Show growing up. There's not a problem." Well, I'll confess again that that doesn't take care of everything. That doesn't take care of all of the attitudes that I need to be sure that are in check. I want to read another passage from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 for our consideration. As that verse begins, Paul says, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, you may have a translation that says men stealers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The point I want to make is this. He's talking about things that are contrary to sound doctrine. And one of the things that he mentions there is kidnappers or men stealers, one translation says. Now that's not, well it is in one sense. It's kidnappers in one sense that we think of. The unfortunate thing is there's been an Amber Alert now for close to a month. This young lady in Tennessee, 15. And really, she's been kidnapped. Maybe not initially against her will, but you look up that word. And what that word has to do with originally is the slave trade. Just spend some time and look at that word. Men stealers, kidnappers, it has to do with slave trade. And as Paul is writing to Timothy, he says to him that that is contrary to sound doctrine. It's something for us to think about. We may have blind spots. And what I mean by that is this. We may not recognize certain things. We may not recognize that as we say certain things that may be offensive to others. And if we have blind spots, what we need is we need to identify those or perhaps ask someone else to help us to identify those. How do you do that? Well, you get with somebody that you're comfortable with. And you might say, what is an appropriate way? What is the best way for me, an appropriate way that would be non-offensive? How should I refer to you? You know, if somebody said, well, you're a big white man, that'd be okay with me. That's not offensive to me. You know, there was a time, does somebody want to be referred to as a black individual, an African American, Hispanic, Latino, Mexican? Understand that it is possible with God and that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the God we serve. That's the one who has the answers to whatever problems we are concerned about in this life. His Word teaches us what we need to know and teaches us how we need to respond, how we need to act, and we need to be so thankful that we serve a God who is Jehovah God, the Creator of everything, the One who gives life, the One who sustains life, and it's in His Son through whom all spiritual blessings flow. How privileged we are to be able to serve a God like that. And may He help us to live our lives in a way so that He is glorified as people see Christ living in us. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. If there is someone who in a public way needs to render obedience to the gospel, we encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing.